This day of the Epiphany, we continue in the same line, meditating on the text that our Mother the Church poses to us. The Gospel tells us of the Magi. Probably they were astronomers, very important for their civilization. Probably they come from Chaldea, which is the area in between the river Tigris and Euphrates, what nowadays is Iraq. The lower course of these rivers were all irrigation lands. They had to plant, but they had to plant at the right time. Otherwise, if they don't plant at the right time, too early or too late, means that year no crop, no grain, means starvation, means death. So that's why it's very important to know when the spring begins and when the summer is going to come. Well, you find out. There was no calendars. There was no internet. There was nothing. So they have to look at the stars, and they began astronomy. So they have a very developed and sophisticated knowledge of all the stars and everything there. Now, who can devote himself to study this? Well, only a person who doesn't need to go to the field to plant grain. Who can afford that? The rich people. And who were the rich people there? The king or the children of the king? That's why only the Mayayaman can afford to study astronomy. The children of the rest of the people were yung doon sa palayan, sa kabukiran, no? So working, okay? Now, that's why we call them the three kings. Because if they were not kings, they were close to it. They were children or kamag-anak of mga hari ng Chaldea. Tapos, these persons, the astronomers, not only predicted the season, study when the season is going to begin and told the people, so they knew when to plant, but also predicted on the way eclipses and explained many of the things. They planned the stars and many of the things that we know, they already come from the time of the Chaldeans. For the common Tao, this was magic. How can he know that the eclipses, he says eclipses, and it happened? Oh, mystery. So that's why they call them Magi, because it was like magic. So it's all right to call them the three kings or the three Magi, as they are also called. They look at the star. All the astronomers saw it, probably more than the three of them. But for the others, it did not bring any message, only for these three. Within their profession, they found something beyond the purely material appearance of the star. The star implied to them that God was calling them, a mysterious God, a God didn't know, to leave everything behind and to go after the star. No matter what the sacrifices for them imply, no matter what, and they did, they obeyed God's will. So the star was not only a phenomenon in the sky for them, was not only a celestial body. For them, that celestial body, that material body, included a supernatural message of God, which told them the meaning of their life, revealed to them their vocation. God uses these things very often with the Magi and with each one of us. Sometimes material things evoke on us things far beyond the material appearances. Here in McKilling, sometimes we have very clear skies. Even though it is winter now, even though the temperature rarely goes higher than 30 degrees centigrade, in Europe and America it will be considered really summer, but here for us is winter. The lower temperature is 26. At dawn, again, very pleasant, no? So, but it's winter, 26. So some parts they will tell you, no kidding, 26, not even in summer we reach it. Well, you look at the sky, the clear sky at night. And in the evening, what is the first thing you see after the sun sets? You see a star. The sky begins to be completely dark, and you see a star there above the horizon. That's the evening star, right? Beautiful, shining there alone in the black sky. That's our vocation, our personal vocation. That's what the Magi saw. I have responsibility before God. That star is my star. That star is my calling. Whatever the Lord expects from you, it expects an answer. The three Magi, they gave an answer. They leave the family. They left behind the profession. They left behind their comfortable life in a city with houses, normal houses, with roof and everything. And they went across the desert. But wait. Wait and continue looking at the sky. What happened? That lone star is no longer alone. And soon you will be the whole sky covered with thousands and thousands of stars. Some very brilliant, some not so much. But practically everything is covered with stars. Some very close to one another, some more distant. What does it mean? It means that you are not alone in the sky. You cannot continue talking about my star and the rest. I don't care. No. Okay. So you are there, but there are thousands and millions of stars which expect a lot from you, because God put you there first in order to help the other stars that are waiting their turn. Okay? So you see, your personal responsibility towards God and your personal responsibility towards the others. You see how God teaches us with images, through material elements, through stars, but also through planting grain, through winter, through... The Lord also employed these elements. They are called parables. A parable is a story, as I told you. It's a story that reveals to us an inner message, the explanation of some mystery of our faith. If it is explained to us directly, we may say, Tikkun 19 dihan, mahirap talaga because it's very abstract. But the Lord tells us the same thing, but true story, a comparison like that of the prodigal son. A man had two children, and the younger one went abroad. He left his father. So to describe the evil, which is sin, how is getting away from God and seeking compensation abroad. Okay, so this is a parable. Jesus spoke to parables so that all those who have their heart ready could be able to understand the marvels of the kingdom of God. This morning we are talking about the kingdom of God, which is in us. The Holy Spirit induces us, introduces us in the kingdom of God. The Holy Spirit is in you, and we call it grace, that indwelling of the Holy Spirit in us. And God speaks to us with things clearer to us, like story, in order to describe for us not so clear things, more abstract things that belong to the kingdom of God. But even so, a person listening to God, you have to have the heart ready. Why did the Magi discover and came to the realization of the message of God? Through the star. But they saw it because they were looking at the star. Now, if they had remained in the chamber, in the bedroom, covered with the roof, not looking out of the window, no way they could see the star or anything that is happening outside, right? So they were ready. Every day they were there with the few instruments they had, measuring and contemplating the map of the stars, identifying each one of them. They were ready, they were prepared, they were searching. So the parable needs or demands from us an attitude of searching God. Where are you, Lord? What are you telling me? That attitude of openness to God. The parable demands a right attitude on the person listening to it in order to understand what God is expecting from us. How good a teacher is God? It's a divine pedagogy, a method that God follows. And the parables that our Lord proposes to us, they are luminous, they are clear, addressed for simple souls. That's why the level is very simple. The Lord is talking to them of things that they knew very well. A woman who had just a little coin, but nevertheless, she gave it to the alms box in the temple. He speaks about planting and harvesting. He speaks about how the grain sometimes fall into a terrain with stones and the harvest is destroyed because they cannot grow there. Or the grain falls into good soil, good ground, and they have a bumper crop. He speaks about a woman was very poor and had to sweep the whole house. Can you imagine? Even God speaks to us about a scoba hen. She had to sweep the whole house. Is this how normal, how simple things are? Or a person who had to administer a hacienda, and the amo comes and leaves them plenty of money, talent, okay? You see how the Lord uses simple things to explain to us the parable of the kingdom, to explain to us the reality of the kingdom. The persons who are complicated, they don't understand the parable. They cannot understand. They just remain in the material side of it. That's what happened with the companions of the three kings. They saw the star and they said, well, and so what? Yes, a star, very luminous, but I don't hear anything there. Do you hear? You see? So they were looking at the same thing, but how different. For the Magi, enkindling, the star enkindling them, that desire to, that obligation to correspond to God. For the others, their ears were closed. They were not understanding. They could not understand anything because they were complicated. They were not docile to the will of God. Let us examine ourselves. How is my attitude in relation to the Holy Spirit? In my prayer, do I listen to the Holy Spirit? Or do I just impose on Him? You see, the Holy Spirit is not your driver, sometimes you say. You see, the driver tells you, you tell the driver, bring me to this place, bring me to the market, bring me to the mall. And he does. No, God is not, I'm afraid, is not your driver. Perhaps you are God's driver. You are God's employee. No, you are a child of God. But you cannot order God. Hey, you do this. No, no. That's why our petition to God has to be always conditional. Lord, if it is your will, if it is for your glory, like the Lord did in the prayer in the garden. Am I ready to listen to God? Am I flexible to accept what He is telling me? Do I refrain from ordering God, rather petition Him if it is for His great glory? That's why the Pharisees did not understand anything. Meanwhile, we have to get closer to Christ, like the apostles, and then in private, tell Him, explain to me the parable. And you will see how you will understand. So we have to apply all these parables to ourselves in the intimacy of our prayer, talking to Him with affection, with humility, with simplicity, and with joy. Very important. Twice we are told that when the Magi rediscover the star, they rejoice very much. They were very happy. So when we discover what God expects from us, we cannot say, no, what? No. We have to thank God. Thank you, Lord. You want it? I want it also. Rather, why so heavy? Why now? No, that's a bad attitude. Do I rejoice when the Lord makes me see new horizons in my interior life? Horizons that perhaps demand from you new sacrifices. Yes, but new sacrifices that come with the grace of God as well. When you are served something, you are served the soup, okay? So you usually are given a spoon. Okay, unless you are in India, they take the soup by drinking it directly from the soup bowl. No, sometimes, no. No, you you need a spoon to eat. Well, when God discover for you, unveil for you, when God makes you see new horizons, new demands, He brings you the spoon. That is His grace to do it. He gives you all the necessary help to accomplish it. Don't be afraid. Don't be disturbed. If you feel new demands in your interior life, be sure that the Lord is going to give you the necessary graces to afford it, to push through. You just have to use them. Of course, you don't take the cuchara, of course, nothing happens. You have to grab it and use it. What the same with this in our interior life. When there are new demands, you have to use the grace of God. Come, Holy Spirit, help me, that I may understand well what the Lord expects from me in the intimacy of your prayer. This is how the Lord made it clear for all what God expected from them. But going back to the beginning, when we finish this time of prayer in this Feast of the Epiphany, we have to reflect that that star is not alone. That star is connected with thousands of stars. That we cannot think of sanctity just between a simple relationship between God and me, and me and God, and God and me. That's the first element, yes. The fundamental element, seeking sanctity. But there is a second element that you cannot forget. That star is accompanied by many other stars. And that you have to give help, light, encouragement to the people around you. Apostolate. That Epiphany imposes on us the manifestation of God in our life. When you see the star, you have to realize, I have to go to the others. The Magi were solitary when they crossed the desert. But as soon as they entered civilization in Jerusalem, they went to the king. They were kings, they went to the king. Herod was not a very good guy. But you see, a king, three kings approach another king. Do I approach people beside me? That's personal apostolate. They talk to the king personally. Where is the king of the Jews? They opened the question. They motivated Herod to find out. And Herod did. At least they succeeded. Herod called the priest of the temple. Oh, mga pare, huh? What is the place to be born, the Messiah? And the priest of the temple answered, in Bethlehem of Judea. You see, Herod had never crossed his mind of think of the Messiah or anything like that. He was not even a Jew. He was a Moabite. So he was not very religious, to put it this way. But with the coming of the three kings, they had to think of what we may say, God and the Messiah and religion, at least a little bit. Unfortunately, King Herod did not continue in the right track, because when he stole, he wanted to kill the Messiah. Saya, what a pity. But at least the three kings did their best. What about you and me? Do I approach my friends? Do I try to project to them the beauty of the gospel? The beauty of this king who is born a little child and is God of this King of heaven and earth, who satisfies the loftiest aspiration, the highest aspirations of the human heart, who gives rest to the most intense restlessness in a man or in a woman. He satisfies our necessity to know, our need to deal with God, but most of all, our thirst for happiness, our thirst for eternal life. Only He can satisfy that desire, and He does. Therefore, let's follow the star as our mother did. That's why we call her the start of the morning, the star of dawn. Why? Because when you see again that star in the morning, means the day is about to begin. The sun is about to rise. The sun is Jesus. And Our Lady leads us to the sun, to the complete day, which is Jesus. Through her, let's approach Jesus. Let's continue looking at the star. Let's persevere as the Magi did. They lost sight of the star, but they did not say, okay, let's go back to our place. I think we have done something. Nobody can say, you didn't take it seriously. We took it seriously, okay? And we did something. So I think it's enough. No, that was not the speech. They went, they asked, they persevered, and eventually they recover sight of the star. And they reach Jesus, and they adore Him. And they found Him in the house. The house, I was telling you, which is the church, because Mary and Joseph were there in that house, and Jesus was the center of that house. Is it not the church? They were received in that house, and they left their hearts together with their treasures there by the side of the crib of Jesus Christ. That's what your heart should also be.